Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Good. New haircut? Yes or no?
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 Same haircut.
It looks new and fresh and different.
Well, thank you. Nope, it's actually just long and it needs to be cut. See, look, you see the fuzz in the back?
Oh, yeah, the baby hairs back
there. Yes. I have lots of baby hairs that grow on my neck, but don't amount to anything. I just wish I could transplant them, like, to other areas to help thicken it out.
Now, I was just listening to podcasts from two episodes ago where you talked about trying your experiment from the lashes to your hairline. Have you started that? Is it working?
So, no, I haven't ordered my brow boost yet, but I'm going to order in the next couple of days. And now that I've seen all these pictures of these really nice, beautiful eyebrows, and I'm looking at theirs, and I'm looking at mine, and going, ooh, shit, maybe I really do need this product.
Yeah, for real. So are you thinking about making your eyebrows bigger?
Yeah, like, just filling in, like, a little area. So I don't know if you know this, but the way to tell where your eyebrows should be is you put a pencil here, so you see where I'm missing, and then here, and you can see where I'm missing as well.
Right.
Right. So I need to fill that in. And there's little gaps in there. And look, I've got fucking gray hairs in my eyebrows. I'm 37. And there's fucking gray hairs popping up everywhere. And I mean everywhere.
Everywhere. I didn't know that was a thing. So vagina gray hair.
Yeah, there's a vagina gray hair. Didn't you ever watch Sex in the City?
I think I missed that episode, but I do get scared sometimes that, like, when I see something shiny and I'm like, oh, just a piece of lint on my vagina.
Yeah.
That I get worried that it's going to be a gray hair.
Oh, so just to let
you. But also, I shave constantly, so I hardly ever have hair there. I'm sure I have a gray. If you have one and you're 37, I have to have one down there.
Yeah. So you're going to get gray hairs.
That makes me so sad.
Wait, it gets worse. Then your hair falls out.
Welcome to the saddest fucking episode ever Sabrina finds out she probably has gray pubic hair.
Episode 47, guys. Welcome.
You see how depressed I look? I'm recording.
Well, wait. I'm about to fucking, like, give it to you real, girl. You know that shit's gonna fall out. Like, you're gonna be bald down there eventually.
Hey, I'm not mad at that.
No? Okay.
Right? I mean, a lot of people pay for laser treatment. I love a receding pubic hairline. Go right ahead.
Just don't be gray. Either be nice and luscious and dark or be gone altogether.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that shit. I don't even know what a full bush looks like. I don't. Nate and I were just talking about that. I have no idea what this thing looks like fully loaded.
Yeah, let me tell you what. I know what mine looks like fully loaded. You don't want to go there. Look, all I'm saying is, in my youth, like, I had a perfect landing strip, and as I have gotten older, and I am married, and I've got shit to do, look, it's just, it doesn't happen as often.
Really? Oh, see, mine is it's, because I'm always in a bathing suit, even if it was winter time, now I don't shave my legs religiously, but my vagina is always hardwood floors.
Now, don't... I like that. I like that expression. It's shaved down, right? But it's not hardwood floors. I don't have my perfect landing strip anymore.
Right. You don't have a shag carpet, but you have a more modern, flatter rug.
Like a Berber rug. Like, it's nice and
got flat. It.
Yes. That's what I got. Because I don't have time. Look. I've always said I'm, like, part Italian, and I'm only Italian down there. That's where I have all the thick hair.
Your vagina says, wee wee.
No shit. That's French, though. But.
Oh, my bad.
Like, if I was to keep it like that, I'd have to shave that bitch every 2 days.
Really? Okay.
Every 2 days. I don't have time for that shit. I swear. Right. I don't. No.
Mm-mm. What? So we got diverted
very much
to gray pubes from eyebrows. So you are going to buy the eyebrow I'm just trying to get us back on track.
Yes.
I'm backstepping slowly. Back to the eyebrows. You're going to try. We're not using this on our vagina, though. We did not connect the two.
No, no.
Could you imagine? You walk around a fucking afro bush down there.
Oh, my gosh. The silver gray is coming through. You might blind somebody.
It reminds me of the movie Scary Movie. Do you remember that scene? First of all, those movies are stupid and terrible. And I think I've only seen the first one. But she lays down and he lifts up her skirt and this big afro puff is like, coming out. And there's like a moth and shit stuck in there. Like it had been so long.
Remember he takes a chainsaw to get into it? He's like,
I hate stupid comedy like that, but it's stuff like that that sticks in your mind. It's funny as fuck.
It is. I love it. I actually like the scary movies, the funny ones. Like, only the first one, right?
So, do you like that kind of comedy? Like, Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
That's, what do they call it? Slapstick comedy?
Yeah, slapstick or raunch. I call it raunchy.
I don't mind raunchy, perverted, that kind of stuff. I like smart, intelligent humor, smart ass comments compared to which is the way I feel like Jim Carrey and the scary movies are set up.
Well, yeah, and I guess it's also the time frame when they came out, right? So like when I watched them, I was a different person than I am today, so it was more entertaining, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? So you still kind of like it. I only liked the real scary movies. Scream, that's what it was. Scream was I only watched the first one. And I only liked the first one. The rest of them I thought were horrible. And then I only liked the first scary movie after that.
Okay. So Scream, I'm a fan of almost all of them.
Okay.
I thought the newest one was intelligently written and better than the second Scream is fucking terrible. Yeah. My kids and I, though, we know the first and third one by heart. We watch it every Halloween. I think I just watched one the other day. I love the Scream series. It also scared the shit out of me as a kid. Yeah. I remember going to watch it with my friend Amber and us sitting outside. We were waiting for a friend to get done babysitting afterwards. Mm-hmm. And so we're sitting on a street in her car at night. And we're just seeing that guy in the mask every fucking direction. Like, we're scared to death. Like, that movie, the first Scream, scared the crap out of me.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm a scaredy cat, too, though. Okay. Like, I get scared.
Yeah, I don't really get scared. Okay, well, wait, I'm lying, because I do. So, I get scared, but a way for me to divert from my scaredness is to, like, focus on the makeup and how they do the horror stuff. And I'm like, oh, they used that there and they did this there. Right. But if I let myself get into a movie like The Exorcism of Emily Rose, that was probably the last horror movie I ever watched. And because it scared me so bad that at 3 o'clock in that morning, I woke up at 3 o'clock on the dot and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Spirits are going to come and get me for the next 15 minutes. That's the witching hour. That I was terrified. I was like, oh shit. I'm like, how did I do this? How did I wake up exactly at 3 o'clock right after watching that movie? Needless to say, all the lights in the house got turned on until I woke up the next morning.
So I don't know how you live in your house without being scared to death because... So I think the last time we all met, we were having Bitches Weekend.
Yes.
Our girlfriend's slumber party weekend at your farm. So Jen and I arrived Friday night, and as we're pulling onto your street, just your street alone from the main street, we were scared to death.
Why?
Because you can just imagine, first of all, there's the acidic Jews walking around. So then when they're in their...
Hasidic, not acidic. We have...
Whatever, dude.
Do you remember that episode?
I do, yeah. I told Jen, too. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm saying it wrong because we talked about this. But they walk around in their uniforms or dress or whatever you call it. And in the middle of the night, it looks like a crazy fucking cult walking around.
Yep.
And then you have to go down the one long dirt road to your property. And it's like, I kept saying to her, like, what would you do if there's just somebody standing in the fucking road? Like, what do? We have to stop. Do you run them over? Do you go in reverse? What do you do? And then I was like, I dare you to stop the car and turn off the lights. And she was like, no way, Jose. And I was like, I dare you. I dare you to do it. She wouldn't do it. And so then when we got to your house, I was like, I promise you I won't leave you out here. So we were getting our stuff together and then ran inside. But if you notice, like, neither one of us go outside in the dark. And when I go from your house to like the pool house at night, I'm running. I'm not waiting on anybody because there was a bear up in that fucking tree. And Jen and I are scared of the monsters and the murderers and any wild animal that might eat us at your house. We are big ass chickens.
Well, you should. Okay, the bears.
You just said you should be. See, you should be scared.
Yeah, you should be scared of bears. Not going to lie. But guess what? 9 times out of 10, if there's human activity going on around, the bears aren't coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So,
and as far as coming down my dirt road, if somebody is crazy enough to stand in the middle of that road, you fucking hit them and keep going.
Right.
I mean, and I know, but you know, I'm also not scared because, well, I'm always packing, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, it did, in the horror movie Jen and I played out in our mind, the heroine ends up being your mother-in-law. And because we all know that she's such a badass.
Yes, she is.
She'd come around that fucking corner with a shotgun or something, with a truck honking at us. Jump in, ladies. Got Mason in the back fucking loading a shotgun, shooting at people as we're diving into the car. Don't forget my Victoria's Secret knapsack. But that's how I imagine the horror the movie ending is Pam's the heroine. Mason's involved somehow. Packing. Jen and I are running.
Where's Dion?
Well, he wasn't there. It was ladies' weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Well, Mason was there in our ending. Anyways, Dion's not involved. Dion.
he's fine. He's okay. Right. He has lots of real life heroine moments.
I'm sure. What was your feeling? Or I'll just share my feeling after our ladies' weekend. It felt fun and familiar, and that we all kind of needed that time together. Everybody kind of had their moment of talking about some hardship that they were going through, and it just felt simple and needed.
It did, yes. I liked it. It felt what's the word? Cathartic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Very relaxing, very needed, very mentally health needed, right? Like just a good way to clear some shit, get away from everything and just be.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And it felt satisfying once it was over. It felt really good. Like nothing was left on the table, and I think we all needed it. So it was nice, and it was so nice not to have to get dressed up. We really did bathing suits and lounge clothes for 2 days, right?
Yes.
And no big plan on meals. We just made it work and ate well, and nobody got too crazy tipsy. It wasn't about that. It was just about having time with your girlfriends. There were no kids to bother us. There were no men to bother us. It was perfect.
Yep.
There's also no men to judge your conversations, right? We might not speak as freely when there's other people around.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And it felt really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, and then let me tell you what happened after girls weekend. So that next Monday, I got up and I yawned just like this, just a nice little yawn, and my neck went rah.
Oh yeah, tell us about that. You've been showing posters of you in
the chiropractor's office getting treatments done because I was like, oh my God, holy shit, like it really hurts. So I start putting heat on it. And then The next day, I was like, I have to go to the doctor. Went to the doctor. I had 3 vertebrae out of line.
Goodness gracious.
So he adjusted me, fixed it, had to go back in 2 days, just a fix again. It was so sore. It was inflamed. It hurt. It hurt so bad. I was taking all kinds of muscle relaxers and just ibuprofen and heat and ice. I felt like you, because you were all gimped up when you were here at Girls Weekend. I feel like you gave me your fucking neck problem.
It doesn't work like that.
I know, but still.
Yeah.
And so it took 2 weeks it like got semi-healed. And because we had Girls Weekend and I had finished my T20, which is my Beachbody program, and then that Monday I was supposed to start my next exercise program, I couldn't because I was all gimped up. So 2 weeks, bad eating on Girls Weekend, because I was like, yay, I'm kind of celebrating, kind of let over. 2 weeks of bad eating, no exercise. I was like, ooh, shit, cheeks are getting chubby again. So now, yesterday I did an exercise, and then fucking it's starting to hurt again. I'm like, no. So,
oh, really? So yeah. What's the... Well, first of all, from stretching, how does it... This is why I find chiropractors to still be a little bit of witchcraft and mumbo-jumbo. Because even though I feel better than I did 2 or 3 weeks ago, I only felt that bad because of something the doctor did. Going to the chiropractor before then, I had sore spots. Mm-hmm. But nothing like I did that made me get iced up for 5 days. And now I'm back to where I was in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Not sure if I'm 100% better yet. I have to have Nate like pull on the back of my hair or go back on the boat, which our boat has been at the manufacturers for the last 3 weeks. So I can't tell if it's actually better or if I'm just sitting around.
Right.
So how from stretching, like, I just don't understand how that, I don't know.
And I asked him because I was like, why did it? Because the only thing that had changed was, as you know, I wear a lot of tennis shoes now because of my back issues and with my hips and everything. So that weekend, I was basically barefoot the entire weekend or in flip-flops. So I was like, well, maybe that did something to it. And I asked him and he said, no, it wasn't that. It probably wasn't that. He said, we have so many tiny muscles in between our vertebrae and in our neck that you don't even realize. He goes, it could have been building for some time, and then you just moved the wrong way, and it all just went poof.
Oh, okay.
Right, which is why it happened. Like, I can feel, and I mean, when he touched the out vertebrae, I was like, yep, that doesn't feel right. That hurts. I could feel it. Not being in line. And so, you know, and yeah, it hurts after I leave the chiropractor. Not going to lie. You hurt worse afterwards. Mm-hmm. But then the next day, you're like, oh, this feels good.
So are they in line now?
They are. Last night, I could feel the base of my neck hurting again, which is why I didn't exercise today. But Dion popped my back. And girl, the cracks that were happening... Holy shit, I've never heard it that deep and that loud before.
So you're seeing a chiropractor, but you're still letting Dion crack your back?
Hell yeah, I'm letting him crack my back.
Why, if you're under a doctor's care?
Because he can crack it for that immediate relief, and then if it keeps messing up, I can go back for the real adjustment where they do all that.
Oh, so you're not still continuing to go...
Right, no, correct. I'm now on a as-needed basis.
Oh, okay, because I'm still going 3 times a week.
Okay, yeah, so you're at a different place. So when I first went, it was 3 times a week, and then once we get to a certain point, you know, he goes, okay, you're now at as you need, let me know if how it's feeling, if you need to come in, come in, if not. So when I'm on a 3 times a week with the doctor, and he's like, Dion doesn't touch me. There's no way in hell I'm letting Dion touch me because it hurts.
We have bathroom renovation starting today. As everybody might remember, my master bathroom flooded in June. We're starting construction today. We have a a contractor signed and here today, which meant last night, Nate and I went to go pick up the tile. Mm-hmm. So we picked up 26 boxes of tiles. And I looked at Nate and I was like, I'm sorry that I can't help you load all these into the car because I'm under a doctor's care and chiropractor's directions. And he has advised me not to do anything strenuous on my back during this time. And he was like, you motherfucker.
But you
so
know
that's what I did.
Nate
I sat in the car.
Nate would have done the same fucking thing to you.
I know, I know. So when we got home, he made Ethan unload it. It was a lot. I'm super excited, though. Well, first of all, I'm glad you feel
Thank
better.
You.
And it was hilarious. That picture of you all fucking wrapped up in, it looked like you were in a space suit of some sort.
Oh, I felt like I was in a space suit because they put these little things on my back that had vibration pulses. And then,
that big
round thing was a wet heat heating blanket or pillow. So,
right. It was funny looking.
Thanks.
You look like a big giant blob. Another good note before I talk about my construction is I saw your video about your tax return. You had told us a little bit about that. It looks like your tax returns finally
they
coming
have.
Through.
And speaking of which, I didn't check to see if it came through today. So let me tell you. So while we were so excited yesterday, I thought I was going to kill my bank. Because remember I told you we filed for the taxes in January, got put to a special department in March. COVID happened, right? Everything shut down. Couldn't do that. Well, also in February, I had fraud on the checking account that we put the direct deposit to. So now that we've got a date, I'm like, yay, I get to call my bank and say, hey, money's coming through, transfer it, right? Well, the only department that can handle that is the fraud department. No other department can handle it. I had to wait on their phone for over an hour, almost 2 hours before someone picked up. And their fraud was so overloaded because of apparently unemployment fraud. That's how long the wait was to get a hold of somebody. I was pissed.
That doesn't surprise me. Cyber liability and cyber fraud is up ever since COVID happened. Everybody's working from home. Everybody is, nobody's going to the bank as much. Nobody's doing all of this. So cyber claims are happening over and over again. So that doesn't surprise me.
So it finally got through. They got it through there. They did the process. So it should be there today. I still have to check. But yeah.
So I got to call you out a little bit because I watched your video and I was fucking crying.
Oh, God.
So first of all, I know how excited you are to be getting this tax return. That is a big chunk of money, right? And you and I have talked we've talked with our listeners about how hard it's been. You're expecting this chunk of money as anybody is on a tax return. Yours is 10 times that amount, right? And when you're not getting it, it's like, fuck, I need my money. I need my money. How you're playing, moving money from here to there, trying to get by, and then the money comes through, and your fucking video was cracking me up because this would be me. I'd be like, "We're rich, bitch! That fucking money came in. I'm gonna be rich. Y'all ain't gonna see me for 2 weeks. I'm spending this fucking money," and you are out there going, "And God really told me this." And this is how God, it didn't even sound like you and the shit that was coming out of your mouth where I'm like, you want to say, thank fucking God.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this was fucking hard and we rich again. We're getting our fucking
money.
But
we're not rich again.
I'm getting my money and I'm going to make it rain. I'm going to eat out a little bit. I'm going to apply the bills where I need to. But I got my fucking money. That's what you wanted to say, but that's not what you said. It was... I was like, what the fuck is this? I was cracking up.
Well, I'm glad that I could entertain you, Sabrina.
Tell me I'm wrong. What you wanted to say is, thank fucking God, I got my money.
Pretty much. I got my, yeah, it's true. I mean, like, okay, so the delivery may have been a little pre-rehearsed, okay?
Right.
But the message, I mean, straight up, the message was true. Like, we're not spending it.
I want to.
Yeah,
no, I understood what you were saying. I understand the lessons of, you know, that's what these kind of bumps in the road do, right? Like, COVID hasn't affected us in the beginning. It's going to affect me at the end of the year. I'm already trying to think of, all right, where do I adjust money-wise? The same way that you had to quickly react, mine gets to be a little more proactive. Right. And so I was understanding what you were saying about, you know, the lesson that it had taught you guys and how you're thankful for that. But I know the bottom line is when you and Dion got that call that it was released, you were like, oh, thank fucking God.
We were jumping up and down. And we were hugging. Right? And we were like, oh, my God. Fucking yes. Right? I got my money.
That's what cured your fucking back, girl. It's amazing what money can do. All of a sudden, you're feeling young. It doesn't matter.
I was like, we're going out for Thai food because we haven't gone out to eat in like 6 months.
All of a sudden. Yeah, right? Exactly. All of a sudden, the things that where you pull it back a little bit, you can finally take a deep breath. Which I know. I knew that you were feeling that. I was very happy. It was just... it's pretty.
Yeah. Funny. Well, so I was whispering. So I kind of had that cute little tappy voice.
It was so weird. Yeah.
I know.
It was so funny.
You know, I got to so keep you guys on your toes. You never know what version you're going to get.
Yeah. So, hey, my question to you is a fun question. Normally, if Nate and I are getting a chunk of money, it doesn't matter how big or small. You know, everybody, I remember what it felt like to care about getting like a $1,300 tax return where it used to feel like that was a big chunk of money. But either way, whenever we get this chunk of money, we always reward ourselves big or small in some way. And we both get to do it. That way there's no hostility of, well, why do you always get this? Or why do I, there's none of that. And we're rewarding ourselves along the way, but still paying our bills. That being said, are you guys rewarding yourselves at all? Or
so, no.
Nothing.
And here's the reason why.
But dinner, you said you're going to Thai, which to me is a reward, right?
Yeah, a small reward. We, couple times we've gone or had dinner out, like not at the house.
Good for you. Because I know you guys hadn't been doing that.
Right.
Good for you.
Because like I said, any non-necessity came to a halt. I literally budgeted everything. Everything was done in envelopes, like the Dave Ramsey. Mm-hmm. The money's out. Too bad. Money that gets left over got put into a hidden fund that nobody knew about except for me.
Right.
So there was no way to overspend it. And we're still doing that. And then this money is going towards helping to pay off other big bills because I have a 3-year goal and it is a big ass goal. By the age of 40, we are going to be completely debt free.
Okay.
That's
quite possible.
It includes the house. It includes the cars. It includes fucking everything. We are going to be debt free. Now, the house may not be redone or any fun stuff like that, but it's going to be paid off.
Good. I think that's great.
Yeah.
And that's a great feeling as you start to pay things off. I think debt is the necessary monster. Mm-hmm. At some point, and then you start to realize as you get older of how to smartly manage that money and how much money you're wasting on debt and credit cards and things like that.
Or going out to eat. Like the amount of money we were spending on going out to eat is crazy. And then there was a few times we went out to eat because we had the kids and we spent almost $100 on fucking pizza. We came home. And it wasn't that great. I was like, this is bullshit. I could have spent 20.
It's so easy. It's so easy to spend money on food. It's
gross. And then it ends up not being that great. I was like, I could have spent $25 and made homemade pizza and it would have been better than this.
Yeah. A friend and I were saying we like to spend money on moments and memories rather than food, which when I first started to lose weight, I started to get really better about that. Mm-hmm. Rewarding my success in items or moments rather than, Hey, it's your birthday. Let's go out to eat to celebrate. Hey, you won this account. Let's go out to eat to celebrate. Everything was go out to eat. You spent $150 fucking dollars. I could have bought myself a new pair of shoes or a handbag.
Right, exactly.
Or taken my family, you know, somewhere and had a memory rather than a food.
Right.
So we all spend a shit ton of money on food. It's such a waste. And then we regret it, right? Then we're working our ass off just to work this food
working
off.
Working your ass to work it off. And not, let's be honest, you shit it out.
Yeah, right?
And then
yeah.
you have to pay.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's
it
a waste
really
of money.
And then you have to pay for the toilet paper to wipe your ass.
I know. Speaking of, we are on our commercial grade toilet paper.
Okay.
You know, in the beginning of this pandemic, we joined BJ's or Sam's Club on purpose only to be able to buy their toilet paper. So we bought one big giant box that was the high quality stuff. And then Nate bought one big giant box of the low quality stuff. So it would last us a little while. So we've just recently ran out of the high quality stuff. And now we're on the commercial grade. It's been a rough week.
Literally a rough week.
Literally. All of us have noticed the difference in the quality of life we're living over here. But what the fuck else am I going to do with this giant box? I can't gift it to somebody. Am I going to gift cheap-ass toilet paper to
Tell
someone?
Tell them to ply it up.
Yeah, double roll it. Spray some fucking leave-in conditioner on it. Maybe that'll make
or
it feel
wipe
better.
Wipe it with that, and then do you use a baby wipe and then dry it again so it's, like, nice and smooth.
Yeah, something. So the Brigances, if you see us walking a little funny, it's because we're using very low quality toilet paper.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I have a story to tell you. Okay, so I had a Facebook friend tell me a story, and I cannot believe what she told me. So when she was in high school, she went on a date with this guy, and he literally showed up in a hearse. I'm serious. He showed up in a hearse and drove her to Taco Bell. But here is the even worse part. There was a dead body in the back.
Shut the
Seriously,
front door.
Seriously, there was an old lady in the back of the hearse. Dead. Like, in the coffin and shit. And I was like, how did that work? Right? Like, so I started asking all these questions. And obviously this was like 25 years ago. And I was like, she's like, yeah, he was a really great guy. He was funny. Ended up being gay. And I was like, well, if he was gay, that's definitely a way to make sure you didn't have to deal with a girl wanting to have sex with him. Because no girl wants to sleep with you in a hearse. She's like, that's a good...
Yeah, nobody wants to fuck next
no,
to a dead body.
Right? And then, what was the other thing? I was like, how the fuck did he get a hold of it? Was he working there? And if he was working there, who the fuck lets a high schooler drive a hearse with a dead body in it? Or was it like a family business? Like, what the hell? Because something just...
Yeah, but what do you do? Hey, Mom, can I borrow the company car to take Susie on a
right?
date? Sure, sweetie, but Miss Williams is in the back still.
Yeah, I think he had to pick her up. I think he had to... The body...
Sweet Jesus, yeah.
I would,
yeah, that's
she
weird.
Just told me this morning because what happened was I put a post out on Facebook.
I saw that, yeah.
Because I was getting food from Chick-fil-A and I'm like, there's a fucking hearse. And I'm like, you never see that ever.
You don't,
never.
Yeah. They're always working. They always are in a procession somewhere. You never just see a hearse riding
right.
around.
Right, and I was like, is there a dead body back there? I want to know. I was like, I want to ask. I was like, hey, you got someone in the back?
Yeah, probably. I could not work around dead people. That was something else I was going to tell you about scary movies is that we watched two scary movies this week, Relic and The Story of Somebody. And it was both about dementia. Mm-hmm. And whether or not these people had dementia or these demons, which it was kind of a relationship between dementia actually being some sort of demon and the way it works and hereditary and all this other stuff. But old people gross me out. I'm not going to lie.
What's going to happen when you get old? Are you going to be grossed out by yourself?
I think so. I mean, these people were... maybe it was just the old ladies that they picked, but old people are such badasses because they have no...
Couth.
Restrictions, right? They don't fucking care anymore. They're gonna say and do what they want. And when the daughters are talking to these moms. Both of the old people were old ladies. And the faces these old ladies are making without even being possessed scare the fuck out. Really? Yeah, they just look mad all the time. They look angry. They're no nonsense. They just, old people freak me the fuck out. So I'm sitting there with my eyes closed watching the movie because I'm a big fat chicken. And then Ethan touched my nose and I screamed in the middle of it. Because I didn't know what touched me. It was ridiculous. But old people
scream. I like old people because they're fucking sassy and they tell you how it is. And I'm like, man, I want to be like you. And I'm like,
I actually told a colleague to go and, you know, football is canceled.
Well, not
college football. Well, some of it. The Pac-12 and the Big 10.
Yeah, the MAC where Ohio is, I know is canceled. UCF hasn't made their decision.
Yeah, that's the Southeast, right? What is UCF? I know the Gators and the Seminoles, they haven't made their decision yet, but... I was talking to a colleague up north, and I sent him a list of things to do since college football's off. Mm-hmm. And he spent the last 35 years watching Saturday Buckeye games. So I suggested that he go find the oldest person on his block and sit and have a conversation
with him. That's a really good idea.
Old people are, now they scare me because they literally have zero filter and they've earned that right, but they're so fucking wise and they're so smart.
They are.
And they give the best advice of really, like, why does it matter? Why are you guys working yourself up so much?
Oh, yeah.
They're so great.
They are. Just they're great. Because they've got so much experience.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Now, before I know you've lined up a bunch of stuff for us to talk about, I want to tell you one other thing. I spent the weekend at the beach. Uh-huh. My best friend came into town, and we spent Saturday and Sunday. Actually, I started Friday. I took Friday off, went to the beach with my sister-in-law and our family friend. And then Saturday all day, we met our entire family from my husband's side at the beach. And I can't tell you how wonderful that felt. Ethan was not there, but Lorelai was there. And Lorelai, you could tell how happy she was to be surrounded by her aunts and uncles and cousins. And I could genuinely see how happy and how much they were enjoying her as well. And how much I was enjoying these family members so well. And, you know, there was a period of time where I didn't really talk to a lot of them for a few years. And with the understanding that, you know, I was making the best choice for myself and my husband. And in that moment and over the weekend, I felt a lot of regret over that decision because with COVID and just looking at our kids, it's like, I asked Nate, I said, I feel like there's that saying, you cut your nose to spite your face. I've never felt like that in my decision and the decisions I made in this disagreement we had. But in this moment over the weekend, I thought, you know what? I fucking cut my nose off to spite my kid's face. Mm. My kids missed out. And I feel fucking terrible about that. I feel like the outcome and the understanding that I have, and I feel like it's mutually on some of my in-law side, was needed. I just hate that it was at the cost of my kids and their relationship. And I feel fucking awful. And I think COVID makes you realize how, you know, there's this Thanksgiving movie that my kids and I haven't gone to and husband for a few years. And the movie theaters aren't open now. And what if we've lost that opportunity to ever do that with them again? And shame on me for doing that because the drive was too long or they were still doing dishes on Thanksgiving. And what does it fucking matter? The dishes could have waited, you know? The friend that we spent Thanksgiving with that year isn't even a friend. and look at me. What did I really accomplish in all of that? Like I said, the outcome and the understanding that the adults have was needed. I just wish I should have gone about it a different way. And it wasn't until this weekend that I was like, man, fuck you, Sabrina. Make a better decision. There's no reason why you have to be so stern and in some way immature about it, right? Like, I don't know. It
was an eye-opener. It felt good, right, though, in a way that we had an amazing time. And Lorelai did this thing at the beach. Uh-huh. She heard us talking about sushi, and she starts saying, are we going to sushi for dinner? This is at like 9 o'clock in the morning. And all of us are like, no, we're not going. We're at the beach from 9:30 to 2:30. Uh-huh. First of all, at 9:30, they pull out a 4.5-foot fucking shark.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Right next to us. And I hear my niece, Dina, say to her husband, Eric, how are we going to go back in the water? This is at 9:30. This is the beginning of our day. How do we go in the fucking water after?
That's a really good point. I didn't think about that.
It was pulled out right next to us. And so Eric says to her, what a good husband he is. He goes, that shark's going to be mad. We've pulled this thing out. We got hooks in his mouth. He's going to be mad at somebody and he's going to eat one of us. And her husband said, that shark's not mad at us. That shark's going to get in the water and just go away. Right. He's going far, far away from here. And I told Nate, I said, like a child, I believed everything Eric said at that moment.
Right.
Whatever he was saying, I was in for. Right. Fine. He is mad at us, yes, but he's going far away from us.
Right.
And that's what I believed. And I got back in that water because it was too hot not to
exactly
care.
The heat.
Or to
the,
care.
The heat was worth a shark bite.
Right. So anything Eric was telling me that day, I was in regards to that shark. But Lorelai spent the rest of the day talking about sushi and asking every adult if we're going to sushi at the end of the day. That it ended up that we were all looking at each other going, hey, are we going to sushi? And I pulled Nate aside, like, once I noticed it was time to pack up, and I said, hey, listen, if you're up for it and they're up for it, we can drive the 30 minutes to their side of town and right. do it. She's worked really hard. And that's what I told my sister-in-law. I said, hey, no pressure, but if you guys are in, I'm in. And they all said, we're in.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal just because you know how lazy I am about driving to the other side of town.
Yes, but you...
We all did it. We hauled ass and we made it and Lorelai was so happy and we took a great picture and everybody was laughing and my best friend was there and she's listening to my friend Kim's husband Tigger talk, who needs subtitles. He's this like old Cajun man. He's not old, but he's in his 40s, but you can't understand anything he says. And then he pulls a fucking bottle of cocktail sauce out of his pocket and I was like, Tigger, you brought your own cocktail sauce? And he's like, I tried to bring my own A1 sauce, but Kim wouldn't let me do it. So he's just pulling shit out. And then Howie's like, Sabrina, you got to mention this on the podcast. I mean, what the hell is going on here? And awesome. He really did.
Now, do they
pull his own?
Do they have accents just like that?
Oh, God. It's worse than that. Tiggers, I couldn't even do it. It literally, he was trying to say the word game. Uh-huh. To his wife and his wife's best friend, the two women he spends most of his time with, they couldn't even understand it. And we had him spell it out. And I still couldn't understand what letters he was
really?
Saying. He's got a thick, thick accent. And he mumbles.
Oh, that makes it worse.
And he was like, she wouldn't put it in her purse. He wanted her to stuff the cocktail sauce in. It was a whole bottle, not even a new one. Like, he literally took it out of the fridge and was like, I'm taking this with me.
I don't blame the man sometimes. I'm just right. saying. Sometimes the shit you got at home is better than the crap they've got in the kitchen.
For sure. So, a great weekend with family. It just made me think about that and think about, as we're starting to get older, there's just things where you're like, oh, man, I wasted that time. I wasted that time. I can't get that time back right. anymore, right? And those opportunities might be gone. The movie theater might be gone. Right.
It might be. And, you know, it's a it's a good lesson for what comes next, right? So, you know, and while you feel bad, you really shouldn't, because you make the best decision with the cards that you had at that time, right? You didn't know COVID was going to come and shut everything down. You didn't know that it was going to affect the kids the way that it did, right? You know, and that's where I'm going to just tell you, don't be so hard on yourself, because it's like, okay, I made this choice. In the long run, it really wasn't necessarily the right one, or it was, it's complicated because it was right for you, had consequences.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more, for me, it's a lesson of time of, it takes me a little while. I feel a certain way. I think about it. I digest it. I didn't need to digest it for 3 to 4 fucking years.
But maybe you did, because some things need that kind of time. And some things require a natural disaster, for lack of a better word, to make you understand or realize, well, maybe it wasn't that bad. You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I agree with the outcome. I saw what it did to my kids this weekend, or specifically Lorelai. She was so young, and it's especially when you have parents that have passed away, you start to realize how important and limited your family is, right? And not just passed away, but I lost half my family when my dad died. So it's like, just do a better job. No, and I'm going to. So anyways, moving on from that of what was the other thing I was going to tell you? Yeah, that's it. We've got some big news. Let's talk about.
All right.
I keep calling her Condoleezza Rice, but I know that's not her name. And now I'm just doing it to annoy Nate.
Oh my God.
I call her Condoleezza Rice, please know that I'm just kidding around. It's I just keep trying to pretend like I'm some old person in this house and can't remember the last decade.
Okay. So, sounds good.
Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris. So go ahead and jump into it.
Okay, so as I'm sure everybody knows, Joe Biden picks Kamala Harris as his running mate for vice president. So how do you feel about her?
I don't know much about her. So I knew that she was a name that people were interested in and had thrown around. I know that she ran for his position. She wanted to be a presidential candidate and didn't do very well. Other than that, I have a little bit of her resume here, but I don't have an opinion about her.
Gotcha. So, I don't have a huge opinion. I just started doing some research, and you know, when I first heard that he picked her, my initial reaction was twofold. Expected, right? I knew he was going to pick a black woman because he has isolated the black community and women. He has really fucked that up. You know what I mean? With a lot of his comments and shit that he's said. So I kind of figured that. But then, you know, the second thought that came to me was, Democrats, where the fuck were you? Black woman running for president, why weren't you supporting her in the primaries? Now you're so excited that she's going to be the VP under a rich white man that you guys claim you always hate? I feel like it's hypocritical almost.
I don't think it's hypocritical. I mean, I think that's standard procedure, right? Is that a bunch of people throw their hats in for the presidential election to see the type of momentum they're able to get. She wasn't successful in being able to win the majority of anything or even close to it. So for her to pull out and them to pick her as a presidential candidate, I don't think that that's hypocritical. I think that that's standard, right? They did the same thing with Little Miss Alaskan when he was running against the first black president. The Republicans pulled out a female because they were like, all right, if we're going to make history, maybe we can try this history.
Right.
So I think that that's kind of standard, right?
I still think it's shitty.
Yeah, but I think it's done on both sides. I don't think it's hypocritical. I think that's the worst part is they end up running with somebody who's talked so much shit about one another. Yeah. If you listen to the things that Kamala has said about Joe and Joe has said about Kamala, because at one point they're competing against one another and now they're working together. Right.
Like Kamala said that she believes Biden's sex accusers and now she's running with him.
Right.
Really? I mean, that, and when shit like this happens, it really makes me question the authenticity of politicians. Because she literally, six months ago, when she was on that stage, ripping Joe Biden apart, calling him a sexual predator, and saying, I stand with your victims. Well, did you really stand with his victims? Way to get up to the position you wanted to get to. And now that you didn't get to that position, now you're changing your mind and you're supporting the man who's accused of sexual harassing women.
Now, did she say that she supports and it supports the sexual harassment of women and no longer agrees with the other
women?
We're just assuming at this point.
Yeah,
because she hasn't said that. I think, you know, we have to think about it as the fact that they were competing against one another and now they have to set aside their differences. They might not be exactly alike. They might not align on everything. But as long as their overall goal is the same, then they would make a better partners. Who knows? I don't, you know, I think the picking of a VP is just a strategy move. It's a strategy move. They literally, as long as Joe Biden doesn't die...
I read an article saying most Democrats don't think he's going to live through his first term if he wins.
Well, shit, I thought the same thing when they announced that Senator Harris was the running mate. I was like, well, man, if Joe dies, I'm going to get my first female president, what I've wanted.
Yeah.
Not so bad.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. So if she has to position herself that way to make this leap,
I don't know. So,
all right, girl.
Yeah, I'm...
You do you, as long as you're not compromising. Now, if she got on the stage and said, I support Joe and no longer believe those women, I'd be like, ew, that was a little quick.
Right. And so here was the other thing that I found out. And again, I just did some research. Do you remember back when, it was a long time ago, that young girl in California was murdered by an illegal immigrant who had already been deported 5 times. Do you remember that? Okay. So what happened was this guy had been deported 5 times. He crossed again illegally into California. He murdered a 19-year-old girl. And California, because it's a sanctuary state, did not hand him over to immigration, right? And they just let him go back into California. No, nothing was done. And she actually agreed with the sheriff's decision to do that. So I have a hard time with her just based off those two things already, because I feel like she's not very supportive of women. Like, that's not backing up a girl. I mean, like, a girl was murdered, and you were just like, eh, okay, I agree with it. It's no big deal. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute.
Right.
You know? So I just have a hard time with that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know anything about that case. I know that she works a lot with immigrants, that she is a child born from two immigrants, right? She's Jamaican and Indian. Dot, not feathered.
Right.
And
why does Wikipedia keep saying she's Asian American? Where's the Asian?
Well, because Indians, dot, that's considered Asian.
Okay. Well, that's why I was asking, because I was confused. I was like, where the hell did that come from?
I looked that up, too, because when it said that she was Asian, that's what I looked up was... Well, what part of her? Because I knew that she was Jamaican, but I didn't know that she was Indian.
Did you know that her Jamaican, she's a descendant of one of the largest Jamaican slave owners?
No, I didn't know that. I saw that on your notes, though.
Yeah. So it's the one that Hamilton Brown, one of the, she's a descendant of Hamilton Brown, biggest slave owners ever.
Well, I think, and the thing is there's a lot of black people that own slaves. There's a lot of U.S. Presidents that own slaves, right? I mean, that's what people are throwing a fit about. Right. So it doesn't surprise me that her family owns slaves. It doesn't surprise me if Joe Biden's family owns slaves. Doesn't surprise me if Trump owns sex slaves.
Right.
That's what these people do.
Yeah, but you know what? And as they're preaching for the middle class to start paying back reparations for that they could have possibly been connected to people who own slaves and that sort of thing, those two motherfuckers better fucking open up their wallets because they're in the same exact boat.
Right. I think, you know, the where this helps the Republican side is that you can't blame a Republican, Trump or Pence or whomever, for owning slaves when she has, right? So that takes that argument off the table, right, which I'm happy about.
Right, because so. It was a ridiculous argument to begin with.
Right. Right. I did see that, this is what I wrote down, is she was explained to be a middle-of-the-road, moderate, wing Democrat, and that Trump has called her mean and nasty, and he thinks that Joe made a poor decision in picking her, based on the things that she said about Joe in the past. That doesn't surprise me because Trump is petty as fuck.
Yeah.
I don't think Trump would pick anybody who's ever said a bad thing about him because he's just petty. He can't help it. He's not thinking about it from a political side. Politicians are used to it. They talk bad about one another and then try to learn how to work together when it benefits them.
Right.
They can forget about it and put on a good face. Where Trump is a businessman and he's fucking petty and he's like, no, she's a mean, nasty woman that said shit about me. I'm not standing next to her. I'm not inviting her. He's so petty, it's great.
And, so I guess I wouldn't call that petty because if someone was, I guess if you take that into the real world context and not the political game that they all play, I wouldn't fucking mess with someone like that either because you're two-faced. I wouldn't do it, right? I'd be like, you need to go over there because you're not here for what the core purpose is. You're here to gain political power and meet your own agenda and not necessarily to be here for the American people because you're willing to compromise your values. Your values constantly change as long as it says the right thing to get you the votes you need to get. And I hate that about politicians on both sides of the aisle. Absolutely. You have a story, your morals and your values, fucking stick to them. And if you can't stick to them, I can't fucking trust you.
Well, do you know that every single one of our presidents in the beginning was the opposing running mate of the winning president? So if you didn't win, you automatically became president or vice president.
Now see, that's crazy.
So like it's part of the big deal of Hamilton, right? Is that Hamilton or Aaron Burr was running against John Adams, I think.
Uh-huh.
And they're arguing about the fact, well, you know, what's the big deal? I'm going to end up as the VP no matter what if I lose against him. And that's why Aaron Burr ended up being VP. He lost the run for president, which automatically made him his VP, even though they were talking shit about each other the whole time.
Right. See, and
so it's literally been our American tradition since George Washington.
Right, but it's no longer our process anymore. Joe Biden isn't.
Yeah, but they're still partnering up, right? Even if so, just think about it, the subsidiary. If we're thinking about it from the Democrat primaries, they took the loser who's been talking shit about you, and now you partner up with them and you run together.
Right, but Joe made that decision. There was a lot of other losers he could have picked from. And there's a lot of.
But I'm saying it's the tradition of picking a loser. You're always, they always run against each other, talk shit about each other. And then when it's time to partner up, you got to pick one of the people that said a lot of shit about you.
And that doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. Is it that hard to find somebody that's a politician that doesn't talk bad about you?
And that's the problem. That's the fucking so problem. Weird. No, I'm serious. Like, if you guys just fucking stuck to the issues, did what was mm-hmm. right, solved the fucking problems that have been going on for the last 60, 70 fucking years you guys have been trying to solve, we wouldn't be in this position. But you right. don't give a shit about the American people. They only give a shit about themselves. Right. That's why they've been in politics so fucking long.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's insane. The whole process is a little crazy. I do want to mention just a couple things about her that I think that they're again, you pick a VP as a strategy point to help pull in votes that you're missing. Obviously, she's a female. It, you know, their idea is it'll bring in more female votes. Right. Obviously, she's a minority. She's a Black woman. It's going to bring in some Black votes. Obviously, she's an immigrant. It's going to bring in, again, a minority immigrant vote. The people that hate the wall, the people that hate the camps and the children in camps, she's going to be a voice for them.
Which, if you haven't noticed, we haven't heard anything about that in the last 7 months.
Oh, I have, about the COVID outbreaks within the camps and them. They've released a bunch of people from the camps because they were getting COVID and they were trying to figure out how to separate the children versus the parents because they wanted to release the kids because they didn't want to get them sick, but then they have to have one parent or something. So it has still been in the news, those camps. Okay. Yeah, because of COVID concerns and outbreaks within these camps. So I think, you know, she's going to work on the immigrant and minority side. Joe's been talking a lot about the working class and how she's a part of the working class. So I imagine the, you know, he's looking for the everyday worker. Now, will he be able to get most of those everyday workers, in my opinion, when they're talking about working class, I imagine plant workers and manufacturer workers, and most of them are typically Republicans. I can see that they picked her to try to strategize to say, look, she is a normal person. She's a child of an immigrant that ended up being a lawyer and working her way up.
Right.
So I see what they're doing. I just think it's not enough. Joe's just too fucking weird.
Yeah.
If they would have started with somebody else and then Joe picked or whoever that other person was that right. was maybe a little younger and then her, game over. It would have been a huge game changer in my opinion. But because Joe's still involved.
Nobody wants to whatever. Touch it. Nobody yeah. wants it. Yeah. No.
I think that I understand the strategy behind it. I just don't think it's going to be enough because Joe Biden is still the president-elect.
Yeah. You know,
he's still the one that's in the running.
And he can't complete.
Right. I mean, he can't even complete a fucking sentence.
Right. So, yeah. And I think, you know, look, and I don't even think she expects him to win. I think this is just a way for her to get into the spotlight on someone else's dime, to advance her career, and maybe in another 4-8 years, she'll put in her ticket again to run for president.
Yeah, not mad at that. She just needs to learn from what Little Miss Alaska did and how she ended up being such a joke.
Right.
And ruined any type of political career for her at all, that she needs to be very smart about this. Even if you've hitched your pony to a non-winning horse or hitched her wagon to a pony that's not going to win, you better maintain your integrity and your level of professionalism and position. And like you said, use this as a position to push yourself forward.
Correct. And maintain to yourself, like your morals, because, yeah. you know, so.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't think it had as big of a hit as they expected it would.
Mm-mm. No. I have a feeling there are going to be a lot of skeletons that are going to come out about her
right.
that she's not prepared or he's not prepared to handle.
Why do you think that?
Well, because
why do you think there's going to be a lot of skeletons?
Well, because I did read one article that she took money from the Catholic Church and ignored the clergy survivors of the clergy survivors complained Harris was silent on Catholic Church abuse scandal as the district attorney in San Francisco and as the attorney general of California. And that was done by ABC News, which is a very left area. And it was just done in June of this year. So I have a feeling a lot of her stuff is going to come out, and it's not, her choices aren't going to be as pretty as they think they're going to be. Mm-hmm. That's all.
I think it's going to depend on how big of a deal the Republicans make out of it, right? Like, there's nothing that she's done that they haven't scrubbed, right? They're had her fill out every paper. They've pulled out every article. They just don't pick somebody out of a hat. Yeah. And they prepare, and they're ready with their pivot at any moment of, okay, well, they've found that article, and they're compiling and crafting their response now. Because right. It's not like you can look at the Republican side and list a bunch of Catholics.
Right.
That aren't Catholic and aren't fighting against the Catholic Church. They're still going to church every day.
Well, yeah.
So I think that becomes a tit for tat kind of thing, which we will see. We're going to hear about it, and we're going to see it. And then they're going to come back and say, just like Joe Biden's stupid commercials about the mask. All he talks about is the fact that he wears mask and we need a president that will lead by example. And he's only doing that because he knows how Trump feels about his mask.
Right.
And it's like, that's what you spent your money on? Something that I hope won't even be an issue a year from now. That's what you spent your money on?
Uh-huh. Right.
The problem is, though, people fucking care. And people are going to be like, oh, yeah, see, he didn't wear his mask. What does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with the next 4 years of your fucking life? I hope nothing.
And the bad part is, for some of these people, that's a deal breaker. Because, right. You know, because they're so scared. Some of them are so, so scared. And they really, truly believe that masks are the new normal. And if you are not wearing a mask, you're a horrible, evil fucking person.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And my prediction is that after this election, the COVID thing is slowly going to disappear. It's going to disappear. It's not going to be the world's deadliest virus, like a lot of these people mm-hmm. say. And there's so much scare tactic being done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to disappear. And then they're going to be like, oh, okay, we don't have to wear a mask anymore. It's all so great, but we're going to forget about the evil, hateful shit you said to people. And right. It's really showing people's true heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad. It's so sad. I'm like, look, I understand that you're scared, but someone who's not wearing a mask because they have special needs and they're sensitive and or they have asthma problems or all of these other reasons, right? Mm-hmm. Other health issues. But to be so mean and hateful, it's another thing, and I'm not religious. I'm really not. But for the love, we need some God in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like everybody's so angry and vengeful. Instead of trying mm-hmm. to see it from the other person's perspective, you want to wear a mask? I respect that. You don't want to wear a mask? I respect that. Keep your distance. Keep yourself safe. Everybody has their own opinion. You know, mm-hmm. why is that so hard? Why are we now judging people their entire existence based off of whether they wear a mask or not?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
sad.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. You know, there's an argument to each side of it. And I think that the bottom line really is, I think the only way we all get through this is if we do it together. And if that means following the instructions of whatever is happening just so we can get back to normal, just fucking do it. Just put your fucking face down and go. Just do what you're supposed to do so we can go back to normal.
Right.
And stop making it so political and stop making it so personal and stop making it so... Just stop already.
Right.
Like, every single thing doesn't have to be a left-right argument.
Right. Or a...
It could just be a humanity thing. It could just be a, hey, let's just do what's best.
Right. Exactly. Let's just all come together and do what's best for humanity. Not right. whether or not it's political or left or right or if... And if you have a difference of opinion, fucking respect their opinion. Stop calling them an evil person. On either right. side.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think, I don't know. I don't know when all this shit will be over. Who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, hopefully by the election and we'll see. I still think with this pick, my prediction is Trump is still winning. I don't think that this has changed enough.
Mm-mm.
I am excited for her first national speech, though. I think that will set a pace, and let's see what the difference is. But I think based on what happened in the Republican election against Obama, that the VP-elect being a female did not make a big fucking difference. And I don't think it's going to this time. I think they should have learned. They needed a different presidential
candidate,
not an awesome VP-elect. They have zero power, basically.
Right.
Unless in this case Joe Biden dies.
Unless. We gotta kill him.
All right. What do you wanna talk about now?
Okay, so let's switch to something a little bit happier. Okay? Let's talk about Zac Efron starring in 3 Men and a Baby.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay? I love that movie.
It was such a great movie.
Yes.
So for all you youngins out there who don't know, this was a movie that had Tom Selleck, Ted Danson, and I don't remember who the other guy was, but basically, a baby was...
Steve Guttenberg,
okay. So basically, this baby was dropped off on these men's apartment, and they're like...
Super cool apartment, too. Right. They had the coolest apartment in where, Miami, or something?
Yeah, they were in Miami, and mind you, they were rich, okay, for the 80s. They were rich, they were down in Miami.
Yeah.
And there's this baby, and they're all bachelors. So, you know, like, they have no idea how to take care of a baby, what to do. And, you know, they've got girls coming in and out. You know, they're like, I don't need this. So, but there's this baby. And then, like, they're like, oh, my God, look at this face. I can't say no. So now they're taking care of this baby. And then something about drugs. They were trying to protect them from drug dealers.
Yeah, so a lady, one of the people that they had slept with, that Ted Danson, and actually it was in New York. I don't know why I thought they were in Miami.
Okay.
But they, one of the women that he was dating drops the baby off, and it makes it seem like maybe he could be the father.
Right, okay.
And then it's in this little basket thing, and what they didn't know is in the basket there was drugs. And so then drugs come... Her boyfriend at the time had hid the drugs in the bassinet. She kind of has a mental breakdown, leaves the baby with him. Now they've got drug dealers after them, but they don't know why.
Right.
They don't know that the bassinet is filled with drugs, and eventually they have to hide the drugs, like, in the baby's dirty diaper.
Yes.
Or in the diaper, and so then somebody's like, oh, looks like she's got a full load here, Dad. And it's a great movie. All three of the men were...
Hilarious.
Handsome.
Yep.
Yeah, they were handsome, bachelors, just very cool guys.
Yep.
That all of a sudden had to become dads.
Yep. And it was released in 1987, which is also the same year Zac Efron was born. And it made $240 million worldwide. So it was the most successful live action Disney movie at the time. Which is pretty crazy. So when they go to remake this, I really hope that they stay true to the grit of it and not make it fucking lame. Like, because a lot of remakes end up being lame. Like, look, there was drugs, there were drug dealers, there were men not quite equipped, you know, for this, and they had a lot of learning curves. Like, I hope they don't take that away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because they do that. They, you know, remakes always from the Older days, good God, I just said 1987 was the older days. But, and then they mess it up.
I think some of them they've done well and some of them they've done terrible. Like the Ghostbusters remake with the ladies, that ended up being very, very funny. And I think that they did a really good job on that. Obviously, Charlie's Angels was fucking terrible. Little Women, the remake of that, they did great.
Okay, and won
and was nominated for Oscars. But you're right. It's either a hit or a miss. They either do a really good job or a real shitty job.
Right. And if they don't stay to the core of the movie, normally it's shitty.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is there any news of who else Mm-mm. the other two men will be?
No, they didn't even say when it was going to be released.
Because that's the thing is, you know, Zac Efron fits the part looks-wise. He's a handsome,
right,
older man now. You know, he's not a teen heartthrob anymore. He, I watch him on New Earth. Is that
yeah, on Netflix.
Down to Earth with Zac Efron. It's very, very good. I don't know if you've watched it, but it's really good, really educational. Taking it from a new spin where it's conversational.
Uh-huh.
Nate and I started to watch it and all of a sudden watched 5 episodes back to back.
Really?
And we've learned a lot from it. It's pretty good.
Okay. I'll have to give it a try.
I think Zach's done a good job of transitioning from High School Musical to then a role like the serial killer Ted Bundy that he played for the Netflix show. He did a really good job at that.
Okay.
So I think he's capable of playing a charming older gentleman. These guys were they weren't middle aged. They seem based on where they were in their life, like early 30s, right? Like they were all college educated. One was an architect, one was a filmmaker, right. One was something else. So they were all successful men.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like Zac Efron is playing a boy trying to pretend like a man. I think he has transitioned into a man.
Correct. And he does
in my opinion.
And he does kind of look like I think he can be transformed into Tom Selleck.
I think so. Sure. Yeah. 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 Gutenberg and who's the other
Ted
one?
Ted Danson.
Danson. Yeah. All great, great lead men that were all handsome. So I'm excited to see the trio. I hope they post some pictures with their shirts off.
Oh, that'd be nice. Wow. Well, since we're talking about movies, let's talk about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That is going to be turned into a drama. Now, I'm not sure if it's a drama movie or a drama series, but they're going to revamp it. Did you watch the trailer I sent you?
No, I didn't. I didn't realize that was a trailer. Was it good?
It was really, really good. So I am very excited to see this. It's showing the truth about what it's like to be a black kid, especially on the streets, you know, in Philly. So I'm sure everybody absolutely knows Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith, you know, was in Philly as a kid, got in trouble, ended up going, you know, got moved to Bel-Air to live with his uncle and family and to get his life straight.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did a really good job on the trailer. The trailer shows him getting in trouble. It was an accident. He was playing basketball and someone threw the ball, but it hit off of him and then hit one of the gang members that were sitting on the side of the basketball court, right? To which now the gang member has now approached Will and he's like, are you stupid? And now there's this macho thing going on. Well, Will throws a punch at the gang member. Now it started a whole fucking brawl among everybody, and the cops come, and Will gets arrested, and Will has a gun in his book bag. So it leads to the fact that he is going to get arrested. He's going to jail, except for his mother calls her brother, who is a judge in Bel-Air. And gets him off, calls in a favor.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I can't handle you anymore. You need to go live there. Mm-hmm. And then it goes through the hardship of him trying to figure out how to fit in this foreign world. right? You know, the prep school, the money, you know, he doesn't know how to act. He doesn't know how to behave. They show a thing where they're having a formal dinner with a colleague of Uncle Phil's, and they said, oh, why did you move to Bel Air? And he goes, I got caught with a gun. And everyone's like, yeah. Oh my, right? Like, that's not a normal conversation,
right,
like,
right.
In the streets, that makes sense. But right. Here, not so much. And I really, my favorite part was when Uncle Phil looked at him and said, I am not your Uncle Phil. I am the law. You are here to get your act together, and you will have discipline, and you will have structure, and you will have these things. And I don't give a shit how much you don't like it. You know?
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. I'm watching the trailers playing on silent here in front of me. So I could see a muted version of, I guess, where he delivered the line about I had a gun to this white couple that they had at this formal dinner. I like the idea of this, right? I mean, we actually kind of talked about this when we were talking about Lorelai singing the wrong words, which she was singing, shooting some b-ball outside of the school when a couple of guys that were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. So then she said, shooting up people outside of the school or something like that, which was probably closer to the truth, right? Of that there was this violent occurrence that happened, which caused the movement. I think it's interesting. I hope that they do a better job. The new series of 90210, when that came out, there was a black family or a black kid that was supposed to be playing the role of Brandon Walsh that... it failed. It literally just took a white kid and put him in, or a black kid and put him in a white scenario, and didn't talk about the fact that there's some culture differences and there's some everyday differences. And the fact that this kid didn't grow up in Bel Air and feels like an outsider and is an outsider and is acting like an outsider and being treated like an outsider, and the accountability from all sides of it, right? I hope that that's...
I hope so too. And you know, when I saw this trailer, the one thing I really realized, and I never realized it while watching the series, is that Uncle Phil is the glue of this entire thing. Uncle Phil fucking saved Will's life. You know, this conservative judge saved this kid's life, brought him in. He is a family man who said, no, we're not going to let you fail. You're going to pull your shit together and you're going to make something of your life, you know? And he's like, and I'm sorry. And, you know, they touched on this in the series. He's like, you know, I'm sorry that your dad is absent, because that was one of the biggest problems, was that the Will did not have a good male role model, you know? His role models were the gangsters, you know? And so without Uncle Phil, none of it's possible.
So then that makes me wonder if how they're going to portray Uncle Phil. Is he a black man that has falsely learned how to live within a white world, living in Bel Air as a judge? I'm going to assume there's not many black judges running around Bel Air, or that he has many black neighbors, right? If we're just thinking about what the neighborhood situation and demographic is there, are they going to show and do a good job of making, especially as a black man, I'd hate to watch that show and be like, all right, well, that was fucking easy for Phil. Phil can say anything he wants because he lives in a fucking gated mansion. But are they going to explain how Phil and the aunt came up, like their come up and their struggle, and what made Uncle Phil transition from what? I don't think we all know what his backstory is, do we?
Yeah, we do. We do.
What is
it? So when Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv started out, they were in, they were not in Bel Air. They were down in the ghetto, basically, okay? They lived in a one-bedroom apartment with the Hillary was already born. And they busted their asses. They fucking worked. Because they had a story where they went back to serve that community. And they did flashbacks where they showed how they grew up and how they suffered and how they worked hard and they made their way back up. And even though they made it to the top, they're like, you don't forget where you came from and you give back to your community. You help someone else up.
Right. Yeah, I love that.
So the series, so the series gave the backstory of them. So it's not just Uncle Phil was born rich, right? Because he's obviously Will's mother's brother. And obviously Will's mother is not rich, probably not very well educated. So Uncle Phil made some other decisions and other sacrifices to get to where he was in his life, where his sister made other choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see that. I think I'm excited to see how, again, when you change a classic or you mess with a classic like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, it's a little scary.
It is, but the one good thing is Jada and Will are very much involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
So like in the directing and making sure that they're sticking to the story, right? They're not trying to divide from it too much because they both got their start on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Because Jada was on there in the 90s.
Yeah, she was. Do you think that this release is a coincidence that they also talked about her infidelity and had that big success 4 weeks ago? And now, here comes the trailer to a new show they're highly involved in.
I don't think so. No, because their infidelity happened 4 years ago. Their Red Talk table was because the other guy fucking said something on a podcast and everybody lost their damn mind.
Right. Yeah. It was effect and not the cause. They didn't start the conversation. August did.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I think too. I just wanted to see if you did. Well, good. When does it come out? Do we know?
They didn't say. I know. I was so frustrated. I was like, I want to know when this is. I was like, well, wait, is it a series or is it a movie? What the hell? What's going on?
Uh-huh. Well, if anybody knows, let us know. But I'm excited to see it. And I'll look some more to see if I can find out, too.
Awesome. So
let's talk about TikTok.
Yay! Guess what happened? I told you. It got banned.
What do you mean it got banned?
So you can't have TikTok in the United States anymore. It's banned. It's banned from the U.S. Trump signed an executive order. You cannot have TikTok in the United States.
Okay, I'm here to burst your bubble.
Can you still get on it?
Right, because President Trump signed an executive order. However, in the U.S., the U.S. cannot control our internet and wireless and internet providers. And the only way that executive order can be put into place is that all parties have to agree. Every internet provider... Uh-huh. The U.S. has a law that, unlike China has an international firewall that controls what's coming in and out. The U.S. does not have that because we are a free-running country.
Right.
That we create. And when my husband was actually telling me this yesterday, and this is the only reason I know, is that he was like, yeah, he signed it, but it doesn't matter. We don't have the firewall or the capabilities to do that.
Okay.
Or the legal right to do that. We don't restrict what our people see and what we can get or put out. And because of that, there's a lot more steps. Him signing a piece of paper doesn't matter.
Okay.
Way. Yeah.
Well, so I didn't know because I just saw that he did it. And I was like, I figured this was coming. But then, like you said, I was like, but he can't just ban our internet, right? Because that would be like China, like you said. But did you notice that Instagram came out with Reels the day before So Instagram came out with what is called Reels, and it is basically TikTok on Instagram. And they created this because of the swirl around getting rid of TikTok, right? So basically everybody's loading their videos. It's very much like TikTok. You got the music, you do your dance, you say whatever. It's fun. I've created a few. You know.
Why haven't I seen those little nuggets?
They're on there. There's a whole nother section on your, so you know where you have your feed and then your HGTV and then you have the place where you're tagged in photos. There's another little symbol. I don't remember what it looks like, but if you click on it, you'll see reels.
And yours are on there?
Uh-huh.
Go are ahead. You dancing?
No, I'm not dancing. There's one what I'm talking. The fuck? There's one I'm talking about my gray hair.
Your gray pubic hair?
No, not my pubic hair.
Oh, I was about to say, sweet Jesus, Tabby. But I do. I found it. But I'd like to see dancing ones. If you're going to put them on here, I want to see you dancing.
I will do a dancing one when you show up here and dance with me.
Well, you're a professionally trained dancer. I'm not.
Yeah, well, no.
So I'm not mad at the president for signing that, quite honestly. I mean, China does some fucked up shit, and there's no doubt in my mind that China wouldn't create an app that can provide access to all of our information.
Yeah.
And
our children.
I'm also not mad at the U.S. for having these rules in place that keeps our government from deciding what we can and cannot see. Right. I appreciate them doing it from a safety side. And then they need to figure out how to actually do it, because we can all still get on TikTok right now because legally they just can't do it. And they don't have the ability to just hit a switch, Nate said, the way that people thought they were. Like, Lorelai had panicked a week ago. Like, it's about to shut down at 4 o'clock. Oh, my God. I'm going to stay on here until it's shut down. And when he told me that yesterday, I said, I honestly believed I could hit an app one day and it would say, I'm sorry, you are no longer authorized
to use it. And that's what I thought as well.
Yeah, he said, you know, no, we don't have, in the U.S., we don't even have that infrastructure set up because we didn't allow it.
Right, and it's smart that we didn't allow it.
I love
that.
Yeah, I love it. That's what I told him. I looked at him and I was like, you know what? Our founding fathers and these idiots that are politicians are actually kind of smart in the shit that they do sometimes. Yes. And you're like, ah, all right, well, you guys actually can't do that to us, so ha-ha.
Right, well, that's because our founding fathers realized that the people are supposed to have the control and not our government.
Right, and I think that as much as we complain about it, again, what COVID and things like this teach us is that there are a lot of laws in place to protect us.
Yes. And we can't
protect our rights.
Right. And we can't allow people to fuck with that.
Right. So, question then, if you just said we can't allow people to fuck with that, is then Trump fucking with that? Are there going to be some people that are like, look, it's our fucking right to decide if we want to use this app. How dare you just ban it? Like, is this a personal issue between you and China? Or is it a safety issue? Because I think we're going to get that argument on each side.
Right, and I think you're going to get that argument with, I don't want this to set a precedent for other people in the future for their own politicalness, okay? I don't like the idea of China having an app where we are out there giving our information and going, oh, this is so much fun, la da da, and they're fucking messing with us and our children. I hate that. But at the same time, our government doesn't have the right to conceal what we're allowed to see. Nor does any social media platform have a right to conceal anything that we're allowed to see.
Right.
Either. So I'm a little torn, right? I mean, I agree with both sides. What I think needs to happen is, very much like Instagram is creating something else, we need to have another platform, and we need to encourage Americans to go to this other platform that is American ran and American based and get the fuck off of TikTok.
100%, yeah.
That's what needs to happen. We need to run a campaign and going, hey, go to Reels. It's the exact same thing, or it's better, and there's this, and there's this, and there's more people here, and blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Fucking ignore TikTok.
Yeah, so I think I agree with everything you said. I like it. I don't like it. I like the rules that are in place. I think that
They need to create a separate platform. I don't think it's going to work off of Instagram, just because if all those people from Instagram wanted to be on Instagram, they would have been on Instagram. They right. just need to create another separate thing. You can call it Flick Flock, Dick Doc. I don't care what you fucking call it. Yeah.
Dick Doc?
Yeah, Dick Doc. Yeah, why not? That might be a whole nother.
Yeah, that's well, and that's the other thing. Like, and so here's part of the problem that and they need to have like settings, right? Because I've seen porn pop up on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whoa, there's fucking kids on here. Right? Right. Like, and I'm not talking like seductive, show your titties. I'm talking full money shot, like cunts open up. And I'm like, holy hell. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, whoa, this is getting crazy. And there's got to be there's censoring of porn. So there's got to, and if China doesn't have any censoring, we could be exposing our children to porn and there's nothing we can legally do about it.
Right. Yeah. I think Facebook and shame on Facebook and whoever the big developers are, that when we've been talking about this for 30 days, that they haven't
come up
developed
with
something else yet.
At least Instagram tried.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
They tried. They're like, hey, we need there's a video market and we need mm-hmm. We need to draw in on that. Right.
Yeah.
So, and maybe people will do it. Maybe you'll start going to Instagram because of it, right? Because people didn't want to go to TikTok initially.
Yeah, I think the only way they're going to shut TikTok down is if they can actually figure out a way. I'm going onto my app right now to see if I can download it right now. So okay. I've never had it before. Let me see if I can download it. Is if they just cancel it completely, right? You have to cut everybody off and force them to go to Instagram Reels so that they get, because look, there's people addicted to it. There's people that need that post and they need the validation attention. And they need the attention that you have to cut it off.
Right. So what?
To force them to go somewhere else.
Right. But you can't force them. That's the problem.
Right.
So, but what one good thing Instagram Reels does is it does allow you to take all your TikTok videos and post that shit up to Instagram.
Oh, that's cool.
So everything that you've created, all your content that you've done over the last, year, 2 years on TikTok, you can now transfer to Instagram Reels. So you'll still get your followers, you'll still keep your content, you're not starting clean, you know, because that's a big thing for content creators. Is you don't want to lose your content because it takes fucking work and effort to get that.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. It's smart that they allowed you to move it over because you're right. That's a big deal. That's a lot of time and energy that people have put into that and creativity. So I was able to download and activate the app. I just deleted it though.
Okay.
So I don't know how long or what's... I just think that it's interesting that I assume the same thing, that we would click on it one day and it wouldn't be there until Nate, the little IT guru, was like, oh.
Busted your bubble.
Yeah, he was like, you know, it doesn't really work like that, right? And I was like,
and
no.
You know what? Shame on my husband. Shame on Dion, because I was like, oh, look, he signed an executive order. It's going to be gone. Dion should have known better. He should be like, yeah, honey, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, he says China has a national firewall that mm-hmm. controls the output. And where we don't have that set up. So we would physically have to go to every internet provider and get them on the same page.
Right. And like when you travel to China, it's the weird. So I had a friend who went to China and she's like, I'm going to China. Guys, I won't be able to actually really communicate because when you go to China, they fucking block your shit, even on your own phone, even though it's American.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, as an American, you can go over there, but you can't still say, like, they're fucking starving people in the streets. Send.
No, because they control the output of what's going on.
Right.
So, we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen. The executive order signed. Now it's a bunch of tech gurus trying to figure out what the fuck to do.
Right, and I love what Nate says. I don't agree with that. We can't just ban it. That's not the right answer. The right answer is we need to educate Americans and go, guys, this app is not safe. It's not safe for you. It's not safe for your children. Go over here and play with this app. It's kind of like a toddler trying to poke their finger in an electric socket. What do? You move it over here and you hand it a binky.
Right. Yeah. I think the problem is nobody believes each other anymore, right? They're like, oh, that's just so-and-so being paranoid, or that's like me saying that cyber claims are increasing. It absolutely is. And this is one of the methods of doing it, is that they're getting our information some way. It's 100% possible. It's 100% feasible, and it's happening.
Right. It is. And a lot of people going, oh, that's no, da, da. That's just burying your head in the sand, because you don't want to believe what someone's telling you that may actually know, because then you have to be accountable, right? Then you have, when you know, and you still make that choice to go on TikTok, you have to, you then internally are accountable for whatever happens to you, right? Right. And nobody wants that. We don't have accountability. You know, when I found out what TikTok was doing, I fucking deleted the app, everything, all the data with it went. Right. I didn't care. I was like, gone, poof. And, you know, the other thing, and I found that Instagram Reels was very much the same thing. That shit's fucking addicting. Like,
it is, yeah, right?
You just scroll and you're, I went on there just for ideas. 45 minutes later, I was like, holy, what the fuck just happened? I was like, okay, I gotta get out of here. I'm like, I can't do this.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know why it's so addicting.
I don't, it's just that it's a time filler, and there's something to be said about little segments. Andrew Schultz talks about that all the time, that that's the way that we process information now, is 40 seconds, 3 minute little reels rather than a 30 minute show or an hour show.
Yes.
You will sit there and play these reels for 45 minutes sooner than you would if I sent you a link for 45 minutes. If you send me a link, I'm like, I don't got no fucking time for this. I don't have any time for that.
Right. But you do.
But we do, right? Because we'll watch 45 minutes of 45 seconds over and over again.
Yes, we will. Which is why advertisers are now on these sort of things, because they realize you will sit there, and as often as you pop up more and more and more and more and more, they're like, oh, well, let me look at this now, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's the new way to advertise. Nobody wants
to. Well, it's the way we consume things as Americans now. It's just the way that we consume information, whether it's shows or advertisements. We'll watch shows in little segments rather than watch it in 30-minute reels.
Right. So the really cool, this happened the other day, and it was just so fucking brilliantly smart. We were on Hulu. We watched Chopped on Hulu, right? Because I don't watch a lot of TV, so I like something just very mild.
Uh-huh.
So I log in, and it says, what advertisement experience would you like? And I got to choose from three different ads. All the same company, but I got to choose the ad. So I was like, okay, that's kind of smart. Mm-hmm. Then second was, an ad would come up, and it would be a little bit smaller, but then on the side, it had my email address and a bar scan code that I could click and have information about that product sent to my email. While I'm sitting there watching TV, I can go, oh, that looks really cool, but I don't want to fucking look it up right now. Click send to my email. So in another day or two, it pops up in my email. Now I have a second reminder about this product. Now I'm seeing it twice, and then I get to relook at it again.
Right. That's smart.
It's really smart. But at the same time, it's like, guys, get the fuck out of my, I mean, you're like, you're getting me every fucking direction.
Yeah, every direction. And it's crazy. I'm convinced that somebody's listening to us, because we will talk about something but not Google something, and then it's on there. My Facebook page as an ad, or an ad on Google or something like that. So that it was definitely being listened to.
Oh, we are totally being listened to everywhere. Yeah. Because we're doing this over Skype.
Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, hey, I want to end this on some fun thing.
Okay.
So I'm super excited about this bathroom. Super excited. Yeah. So it starts today. I've gone through and designed it, and there's this scary feeling of, did I make the right decisions? Do I actually know what I'm doing when it comes to designing a bathroom and the way that things should look together and work well together? And we're spending so much money to have somebody put these things in. What if I made the wrong decisions? There's that nervousness on top of the, oh my God, I can't believe we're getting our bathroom done. And I can't wait to see what it looks like when it's all done.
Right.
And on top of that, when we went on Sunday, we went back to our friend Kimmy's house, one of our family friends, my sister-in-law's best friend. Her husband is the one that Tigger that can't, that speaks Cajun.
Okay.
We go to her brand new home, beautiful home that she just had built, beautifully decorated by our friend Tam Tam. And her closets had all been built out, like your closet behind you.
Right.
She had Closets by Design come and build it out. And if you guys remember, both of my master bedroom closets were damaged in this flood we had. So part of it is we were replacing the floors in there, and we just have those cheap wire hanger thing in there. And so I was going to have Nate, because that's not covered by the insurance, completely gut the closet and design it. Right. And then when I went to Kimmy's house and talked to her about price points and where she was, on Monday, I have Closets by Designs coming to the house, and I'm going to have them design my master closet and Nate's master closet, and I think the kids too. I'm so freaking excited about that.
I bet you are.
I cannot wait to see all my clothes in this beautiful closet, all my shoes in this closet, have a place for all my sweaters and jeans that typically, like, I rotate them out during the year, and I can't wait.
Are you going to expand your closet? Because I remember your part of the closet, like, Nate had a big closet, but yours didn't seem that big.
Opposite. I have the big closet. Nate has a smaller closet.
Okay.
We're not extending my closet, but what we are doing is adding shelves on an additional wall, so that will add, and we're going floor to ceiling with everything. So right now we just have a single rack. I'm going to have double racks, and then obviously a place for the dresses and shelves, because I had a little dresser in my closet to make room. Like, I don't hang my sweaters, and I don't keep my sweaters out all year, but I pull them out during the season and display them on the shelf.
Right.
It's an easy grab. So I'll have a full-time place for all of that. And I just can't wait. I cannot wait.
Oh my gosh. That's so exciting.
I know. I know.
Yay.
The closet is probably what I am the most excited about. The shower is going to be a huge change for us.
Are you expanding the shower?
We're expanding the shower. We're cutting down a wall. We're glassing it in. But for me, just being a clothes person, I'm so fucking excited about my closet. I cannot wait to see. When I was pulling my clothes down today, in my mind, I was just like, man, this is going to look so great. My clothes are going to look so pretty in this closet.
Yes. Yes, they are. You're going to have to show pictures and post along the journey so we can see it all.
I will, for sure. I took an empty picture today, and then we'll post before and afters and let everybody watch the journey. Hopefully it should take 3 weeks. So you guys mark this down.
Mm-hmm.
August 13th.
August 13th is your day. Three weeks from today.
I mean, that's from the mouth of a contractor, so
that doesn't mean much.
Right. So unlike what we say, you can take it to the bank. We don't know. The contractor probably just ran off with my check to go to the bank is what he's doing.
And that's about as close as taking it to the bank as he's going to get.
Right. So we'll see. Just keep your fingers crossed for me that it all goes well. But in 3 weeks, it should all be done. And we're so freaking excited about it.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you guys.
Thank you. So anything else we want to talk about before we wrap up?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right, perfect. Well, you want to say our goodbyes? And great topics today, Tabby. That was wonderful. I appreciate. Yeah. Just so you guys know, I text Tabby this morning or last night and was like, I mentally don't have the brain space for any of this. Please take charge of the show. And everything was great. I loved everything we talked about. I'm excited about these remakes coming out. Oh. And I think everybody else will be too.
Yay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. So, guys, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, give us a shout-out at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Hope you guys have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.